Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. There was an insert, hopefully, in your bulletin. You can follow along or open your Bible as we read God's holy word. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, God forgive me, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they that saw it, they all murmured, saying that he, Jesus, was gone to be guest with the man that is a sinner. Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I had taken anything from any man of false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this household, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The word of God to the people of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I stand before thee today. And what most of us remember as a story as a child growing up in church, may, Lord, today we look at this scripture anew through the eyes of an adult. For there are things here that we need to be aware of. And so, Lord, with my limited ability to speak, with my even limited vocabulary, God, give me just the words that need to be said from the scripture. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I printed a picture this morning out of a Bible story book that we have at home that we used to share with our kids growing up. And they would go to Sunday school, like Hayden and Teresa. And they would come home and they'd have that cute little picture of Zacchaeus up in a tree and Jesus there. A wonderful child story. But unfortunately, it often is considered such and doesn't make it to the pulpit. It's a child story. But yet within these words and these 10 verses, speaks volumes. And what I'd like to point out is Zacchaeus was a short man, very short. And he went, as we're told here in verse number 4, up into a sycamore tree. And the picture looks at a small man, what I call up in a bush. Just a small bush. You can see the picture. That's my image of Zacchaeus, a little man in a little bush. And you can see him up there with Jesus there at the distance. Wonderful child story. But actually, a sycamore tree is a large tree. Sycamore Street. You go up to Poplar Lawn. You would want a sycamore tree up there in Poplar Lawn. You wouldn't want one in your front yard because it's huge. And worse than that, it has so many leaves on it that when the fall comes, you don't want one in your yard. Put it over there in Poplar Lawn and let the wind take the leaves on down to the creek and move them naturally. And so Zacchaeus was up in this tree, not in clear view, but hidden. So let's look at the verses here. Number one, verse one, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. His intention was to pass through the city of Jericho with a destination in mind. And behold, there was a man, Zacchaeus, which was the chief among publicans, the religious group of his day and time. He was the chief. But because of his, and he was rich. You know, it's one thing to be in a high position, but then he was also rich. And we know here in verse number 3 that he sought to see Jesus, but he couldn't because of the crowd that had come there in that city. And so he knew he was to pass that area. Therefore, verse number 4, that when Jesus came to the place, he was already up in this tree. Nobody noticed it. And because it's such a dense tree, nobody even knew he was there because he was not visible. But somehow, the Lord knew he was there and called him down. And he made haste as the Lord instructed. In verse number 7, and when they, the crowd, saw it, they all murmured, saying that he has gone to be guest with the man that is a sinner. The Lord himself has gone off with Zacchaeus, the sinner, the chief publican. I'd like to give the Lord a title in this particular passage of Scripture. I call him Jesus the Profiler. That's not a politically acceptable word today, is it not? Who wants to be called a profiler? But as we study Scripture, we find out that's a natural thing to do. I'll use an example. When I was a teenager, I was profiling young, attractive, white girls, single. Later on in finishing school, I was profiling a job. There were some jobs, no, I discriminated against various jobs. I wouldn't do that. I'm not hauling trash, dumping trash. I profile certain jobs that I would accept. Today we hear about people profiling cops. I know a man that profiles cops. This man, whenever he's in a 7-Eleven and an officer comes in, or he's in a line waiting for something, or sees one here or there in his daily travel, he goes over and shakes that officer's hand and thanks him. He profiles cops. Now we hear in the news there are others that profile cops as well, do they not? With intentions of taking an automobile and running over them, or attempting to, or to kill them, or to bring them some harm. And while profiling is a natural thing to do, it's what do you do with that profile? Verse number 10 speaks volumes. Jesus profiled sinners, the worst of the group, like Zacchaeus, wealthy, inconsiderate of others. He profiled him for a purpose. And it tells us here in simple words that a child would understand that he profiled them, sought them to save them, those that were lost. That was his motive. So if you want to profile a police officer today, what's your motive? What's your intent? If you want to profile a Muslim, an illegal alien, what's your intent? Verse number 10 tells us the entire summary of the New Testament scriptures, from Matthew to Revelation. Jesus came into this world to seek and to save the lost. And if you look at the Old Testament, it's nothing more than Jesus, God sending his son, the anticipation he was going to do just that. Jesus was going to come into the earth. So we have not only verse 10 to explain this passage of Scripture, but all of Scripture.
So this old Babel story, suited for children, can really be applied to even modern daytime today, to adults, to the most senior adults there are. And what I try to do with Scripture, with my wonderful Sunday school teachers and pastors down through the years, and those who mentored me, is I study Scripture with the intent not to see the messages through the eyes of the crowd, like here in Jericho, but to see, and perhaps maybe see them a little differently through the eyes of Zacchaeus, the sinner. But more importantly, put myself on the page between the verses and the words and see what Jesus saw. And come away with the intention that I may see people, situations, conditions of the world, others, through the eyes of Jesus and not through my own eyes. And Scripture allows us to do that. So come with me for a moment as I go down to the printed page and put myself between the verses around the scene here and look at what each of these groups saw, what Jesus saw, what Zacchaeus saw, and what the crowd saw. And then form your own opinion, which is the intention of Scripture. I'd like to go down into the page and make it very modern and applicable for today's news. I'd like to bring a news report up. You have a favorite one? One that you like? Fox, CNN, others? Channel 12, 6, 8? How about WRVA newscaster? Take your favorite newscast and come down with me into Scripture and let's interview what had transpired that morning in Jericho as the day was wearing on in the afternoon. So the reporter and I, we go down and we get there, and the reporter goes over and hears several people in a small group now, and the reporter goes over and ask, breaking news, could you tell me what happened this morning here in Jericho? Oh boy, we can. We were eyewitnesses, all of us. Could you give me your view of what you witnessed? Yes, I will. And he began to question each one, all of them in agreement, of what had happened earlier that morning. A messenger had come into town early and announced Jesus, the miracle worker, was going to pass through our city this day. And it excited the people. And before no time, a great crowd met at the gate of the city, right at the beginning of Main Street that Jesus was to pass. And the newscaster says, go on, what happened? Tell me, what happened? Well, sure enough, Jesus came through. And why would you be so excited about this? Well, you know, he performed a miracle in Canaan. He changed water into wine. Best stuff I hear ever tasted. And he was also in Jerusalem, and he healed the lame and the leper. And he was over in Capernaum, and he healed the blind. We've heard he even raised the dead. We came out. We want to see a miracle in Jericho. We want to be recognized as one of the few cities that Jesus performed a miracle in. And we want that. So those in position of that city crowded the main street to watch Jesus come through, to see what miracle he might do here. And so the reporter says, well, tell us, what did you see? What miracle did he perform? He didn't perform one. That no-count, wealthy sinner hiding up in a tree, when Jesus came by, I don't know how Jesus even knew he was up there. We didn't know he was up there. Came down out of that tree. And what happened? Well, they talked a while, and first thing you know, that sinner and Jesus went off to his house, and there was no miracle. Man, we missed our opportunity here. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, the reporter says. And so he walks away from those three, and he noticed on the back side of the tree a man standing by himself. It was Zacchaeus. And he went over and pretty much interviewed him. Sir, can you tell me what happened this morning? We have breaking news. People want to know. Well, what did you see? And Zacchaeus said, well, I saw a great commotion in Main Street, up at the main entrance of the city. People began to form. And I went over to ask them, what's going on? Not one person would tell me. They told me to get out of here. You don't belong here. You sinner. You wretched man, chief of the publicans, get out of here. And what happened? Well, he disappeared. We didn't know he had went down the road and climbed up in a tree and nobody knew he was there. Go ahead, tell us what happened, reporter said. Well, first thing we know, we moved on down the street anticipating some great miracle, and Jesus stopped, and I don't know how he did it. He called out, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree, make haste. And what happened? Well, first thing we know, he came out of that tree, went down that talk, and again, he went off the street. No miracle. But Zacchaeus said, this is what I saw. I saw a crowd. No one would tell me what was happening and that I didn't belong there. And so I went, being a short man and can't see, I didn't want to miss it. I climbed up in a tree. And it was so much brush, and I tried my best to see through the leaves. But I don't know how Jesus saw me. And he called me by name when he walked past. I don't know how he even knew my name. Nobody knows me but sinner. And I went down and confessed right before him, as I had my fellow community members. I had wronged them and cheated them. And I had restored to those what I had taken from them. As a matter of fact, there were some in the city that falsely accused me. I never touched them, did anything to them. I restored to them fourfold. And nobody even in this city cares about me or knows my name. But Jesus came here and he knew my name. When I told him what I had done and how I had been convicted in my heart and wanted to be forgiven by those I had wronged, when I told him that, he already knew it. That's because Jesus was a profiler. He had been profiling this lost man who had done so much wrong to so many and hurt so many people that got under conviction and tried to repent and repented and tried to make right what he did. But nobody would forgive him. Jesus knew all about me. He knew everything I had ever done and the condition of my heart right now. Well, what happened? Well, Jesus asked me a question. Did any of those, when you restored what you had taken from, did any one of those people forgive you? Master, none. No one, Jesus said. Well, you know that when you sin against your fellow man, you also sin against God. And Zacchaeus said, I know that. That convicted my heart. But those would not forgive me. Well, you know only God can forgive sin. I know that, Lord. Well, do you know who I am? I've heard that you're the Son of David, the Messiah. I've heard that you can forgive sin. And Jesus said, you're forgiven. You have not only confessed, repented, paid restitution, and have no longer sinned since that day you were under conviction. They wouldn't forgive you. They could forgive you of the things that you did against them, but I must forgive you before God the sins that you've sinned against God. And so the man forgave me. As the reporter asked Zacchaeus, He forgave you. Then what? I was going to invite him to my house, just like I invited all of those that I had wronged. Come to my house. Come see. I'm a different person. No one came. But Jesus, before I could invite him to my house, he invited himself to my house. I'll go with you. I didn't even ask. And the Lord invited himself into my house. The reporter says, I have one last question. We have eyewitnesses, reliable sources, multiple sources, that there was no miracle in Jericho today because of you. And Zacchaeus said, oh, there was a miracle. I was a miracle. Undeserved, I was saved. He forgave me. Those that had bitterness in their heart, who couldn't forgive a fellow person who had harmed them and confessed what they had done and made restitution and asked for forgiveness, those people wouldn't forgive this man in their heart. And because of that, when Jesus came into the city of Jericho, there were a lot of people there with sin, and their sins were all well hidden. The multitude of the city, as well as the sin that had been exposed through Zacchaeus. But Jesus could not save them and could not forgive the multitude for their sin because they hadn't forgiven those who had sinned against them personally. We understand that in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who trespass against us. Before you can even seek forgiveness from God, you need to go and seek and forgive others. In the news today, statues, Confederate flags. The other day, cotton fields. Go figure that. Confederate flags, cotton fields, statues, buildings, and the like. People see these things with their physical eyes, and like the multitude, some see a heritage, something to be proud of, and yet the same statue, the same field, the same object. Others see it as hateful and spiteful and racially motivated and alarming. The same object, pride, heritage, racially motivated, and fear. So I'm convinced in the world that we live in today, the things that we see every day, here, there, we see with our eyes what's in the heart. If you've got hatefulness, motivations, as an 18-year-old, 17, 19-year-old, looking for a young, attractive, young, single, white lady, profiling, what was my motivation? A rape? Or date. It's not what you profile. It's what you profile with the intent of the heart to do. The miracle of that day is recorded forever in Gospel of Luke chapter 19. The salvation and restoring fellowship between the chief of sinner and the Lord himself. When we leave these buildings today, as you open the doors and go out, wherever, we're surrounded by sinners, all of sin. We go out as sinners, among sinners, all of sin. And we can profile as we like, as we do so. There are sinners that have been saved like Zacchaeus and love the Lord and serve him, and their sins have been forgiven. But we may remember when there was sin in their life. And then there'll be sinners like this group that never could forgive, therefore could never be forgiven. And among all the crowds, it is our calling that God wants us to seek sinners, particular sinners, those who are lost, who have no communion with God, no fellowship with Him. And it is our duty and calling to do what God has called us to do, to seek the sinner who is lost. And though we cannot save, we can share how God saved us, that they too might be saved. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's troublesome to see the things that go on in the world today, on every corner, every street corner, in every part of government, in the classroom, on the job, and on. But yet we know, Lord, until we can come to reason and find peace and love and joy among ourselves, that we must offer forgiveness for those who have wronged us that no longer intend to harm and sin against us. And in that process, we may obtain the mercy of God and the salvation and the forgiveness that only God can do, and we become a miracle. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response, page 400, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.